David Call, tut mir leid, dass Sie warten mussten. Ich glaube, es waren nur 10 Minuten. Das ist vielleicht noch in Ordnung. David, können Sie uns hören?
Ja, ich kann.
Perfect. Yes, we can hear you. You have been introduced. I've seen your video, of course. Everyone has seen your video. And by the way, before we get started, a couple of months ago, actually probably 4 or 5 months ago, I spoke with one of your countrymen. I think he's a pretty famous person. He is, I think, in his 80s. His first name, I forget his last name. A very impressive person. His first name is Max. Do you know who I'm talking about? Okay.
Yes, Uncle Max.
Yeah, that's him. And he explained how he and his mother in the 1940s, can you believe this? In the 1940s, he and his mother and his two sisters or brothers, how they fled from teams of people who were going to force vaccinate your people. Isn't that incredible how history seems to be repeating itself, but for the last time, we're pretty sure.
Absolutely. And our people that were vaccinated in the 80s, there's a book written by a doctor, and he outlines that over 50% of the children, Aboriginal children that were vaccinated in the early 70s and 80s died from vaccinations.
50%.
Because it was so foreign to our bodies.
Oh my God.
50%. I'll get you the name of the book, and I'll send you the name.
Yes, please do that. I mean, it's horrendous, but we have to know what's going on. We have to know the truth. Let me quickly.
Before we continue.
Sure.
I just need to bring you up to speed. We do have very sad news that we lost Uncle Max. About just over a week ago, he held a very special ceremony, a ceremony that's been kept quiet and away for a long time. And he held that ceremony to ignite all the sovereigns of the planet and unite everybody across the planet. And unfortunately, after that, we lost him not long after that. So it's a very sad time for us, but it's also an honor to be walking in the footsteps of a great man like Uncle Max.
Yes, actually, I feel the same way. I'm deeply touched. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me introduce you. Since the beginning of the COVID crisis, the Australian government is targeting the Aboriginal communities. A large number of people are hit and coerced to be vaccinated, locked in their communities while blocking their communications sometimes even. Military didn't force, there's a rumor going around, but you're saying military didn't force Aboriginals to vaccinate like reports have claimed, but they intimidated the people with their presence massively. Is that correct?
That's 100%. Our communities have been pressured, locked down, coerced. People are being told that they cannot leave their home, they cannot shop at the local store, they cannot go to the football, they cannot leave the community, they cannot go hunting, they cannot drive into bigger townships to get food. And if they don't take this vaccination, that they're told that they will die from coronavirus. So they are coerced, they are pressured. A lot of our communities, English is like in some cases, English is the 5th, 6th, 7th, and sometimes 8th language. So they are turning up in these communities with military. They are not holding people down. They are not chasing people down. But the mere presence of military makes our people fearful that this is very serious and that they should conform because the military is here, which makes it serious. They have police presence. They've had task force. They've locked down entire communities. They've shut down communications when they do lock down these communities, and they've coerced and pressured the people to the point where the people feel that they have no alternative but to take this bioweapon. And many of our people, many of our elders and young people in one community, they've been vaccinating children from as young as 11 up until the elders. So we're going to lose entire bloodlines from these communities. We're going to lose a lot of elders who hold the song, law and dance. And they are pressuring our people to a point where they recently removed some people from Robinson River and Borroloola. and they've forced those people into town, into the quarantine facility. I've just released a recorded interview with the daughter of the mother, but we lost an elderly lady only on the 6th of December. We lost an elderly lady whose family, they took them from their community. They were pressured into getting the vaccine. They were put into quarantine. They were in there longer than the 14 days. The elderly lady who died was up to her third week, and her family were pleading for assistance in the facility from 9:30 in the morning. They were asking for medical help. They were asking for doctors. They were asking for an ambulance. They told them that their mother needed to go to hospital. They were ignored all day up until 10:30 that night. They sent a couple of people to check on the mother. They just did some temperature readings and stuff like that, and then they went away. The family pleaded all day for help, and at 10:30 that night, the mother collapsed, hit her head on the ground, and she died of a cardiac arrest in the quarantine facility in Darwin, and that was covered up by the Northern Territory government and the Australian government and all media.
Terrible. That's really terrible. Do you think that it's like a concerted effort really to attack your people? I mean, are they also attacking people of other origin, or is it like specifically targeting at you?
They're attacking people of all cultures and races through the mandates and the same pressure that they're applying to everybody in Germany. But what's happening different here is they are smashing our communities. They created a distraction in the cities. So they said there was a case in Katherine. They locked down the whole of Katherine. They said there was a case in Binjari. So they locked down Binjari. Then they said that there was close contact with people from Robinson River. While everyone's distracted in town, they are absolutely annihilating our communities. Mm-hmm. They are going in large numbers with police, with task force. In some communities, they have taken in military, and they are coercing and pressuring and basically forcing this vaccine upon our people, or they're not giving them any liberty or freedom to move as sovereign tribal people on their lands. So if my honest answer to that is, I've said this from the start, the current global political system and the financial system is morally, spiritually, and monetary bankrupt. The fiat currency system is dead. And I've said for a long time before this came out that they're going to come here and they're going to go hard and they're going for the land. They want the resources. And the only thing standing between the resources and the multinational corporations and the central bankers is a million tribal people. And for example, I spoke to an elder from Borroloola, who made it very clear that all the four clan groups in that region had agreed that they're not going to approve any mining or any fracking or any businesses on the river, and that region. And I'm going to put this evidence out in the next 48 hours, and I'll send you a copy. Mm-hmm. But I now have the geologist reports, which show everywhere that they have created these coronavirus hotspots are the very areas that they've already done mining deals on, that they've already done pastoral leases on. They've already got permits approved for all sorts of mining. The land is mapped out. The color codes of all the diamonds and the minerals and everything is all mapped out, and it's scattered across all these areas where they are smashing and annihilating our tribal communities. While everyone has been distracted by the mandates, they are coming in and they are taking out the oldest living culture on the planet, and they are taking out our elders. We are losing a lot of elders to heart attacks. I spoke to a health worker in Alice Springs. She was part of a 5-person team, and their job was to monitor adverse reactions. She said on her books alone, she had 27 elders in Central Desert that had died within 4 hours of getting the first vaccine. And this is all being covered up by the Northern Territory and Australian governments, and they won't tell the truth because they're a part of the problem, they're a part of the genocide, and they're a part of the land grab. And they've already done corporate deals because the Australian government is not a government, it's a corporation, and they've already done corporate deals to sell off the land, and the only thing stopping the deals going through is the tribal people. This, for me, is without question an attempt riding off the back of the intervention, which was implemented quite a number of years ago. And the intervention has been nothing but a land grab and an attempt to restrict, oppress, and kill off the tribal people of this land, because we are now dying 20 years earlier than non-tribal people on this continent. And this is speeding up the process, and it's getting rid of our elders, which hold our law, ceremony, song, and dance, which is our connection to the land, which is our connection to the law, which is everything that holds us in our position as the sovereigns and the heads of state of our tribal terrains. And this corporation is colluding with foreign powers to annihilate us, take us off the land, and do deals that's all about money. And that's the honest truth.
So once again, it's a story of a large group of people represented by these corporations, the people who are pulling their strings, who own these corporations, selling their souls to the devil for money.
And, can I ask you, so the territory that your people live on, that's not owned by you in the sense of in the books ownership, but it's sort of reserved for you and the government, once your folks would be gone there, could immediately say, oh, this is now used for this business purposes that you mentioned. Is it like this, or would
Absolutely.
They...
Okay. It's worse than that, because we have never ceded our sovereignty, and the sovereign tribes of this continent still owned our land, our resources, our lives, and our terrain. So we've never actually acquiesced our sovereignty in any form. Everything's been unlawful since 1788, and the Crown formally left here in 1973 after Resolution 25 was passed at the United Nations on the 24th of October, 1970. And in that resolution, it stipulated that all lands of the planet must be decolonized. So the Crown formally withdrew from here in 73. They were supposed to hand the land back to the tribes. What the government of the time did was they fraudulently committed treason, and they breached the constitutional laws and established a corporate government under a corporate constitution after 1973. Now, they've been governing this country on laws that are baseless since 1973. And so everything after that has no standing at law. Now, what they did was they set up a thing called native title, where Aboriginal people could apply to get rights back to their land. Now, the trickery in native title is, once you sign up for native title, what you don't realise is you've already signed your land over and agree that they own it, and you're now asking for rights back to it.
Yeah.
And they drag this process out for 20, 30, 40 years. And what they do is they say to people, okay, you can live on your land. That's your land, okay? But you can't do business. You can't do anything else. You can't mine. Not that our people want to mine, but they say that you can't make yourself self-sufficient on your land. You can merely hunt. But we have rights to all the minerals. We have rights to all the resources. And they do underhanded deals with the land councils. The land councils are nothing but corporate statute bodies that exist under a corporation that's impersonating a federal government. Now, the territories and states are nothing but corporate private entities. So these corporate states, territories, and the federal government have already done underhanded deals with foreign powers to sell off land that they did not own and do not own. And they're selling off sovereign tribal land that belongs to the sovereign tribal people. They're leaving our people in destitute. They're leaving our people suffering. And now with this bioweapon, they are using this to wipe us off the land.
Wow. And the land that you live on is also, like I understand, that also like holy areas in the land. That's also why it's also very important culturally to have these. I mean, not only for living there, but because it's part of your culture. And, you know, the culture is also destroyed by taking out the elders who to know, like, communicate the cultural, the songs, and what you said to the generations to come. So it's like a complete attack on everything that you are.
Absolutely, it's not just an attack on our physical being. It's attack on our spiritual connection to the land. It's a disconnection of that spiritual connection to the land. And I'd like to refer you to my father, my adopted father, who is Jalu Gurawiwi. Jalu Gurawiwi is the Yidaki healer, and he sings the water for the planet across the entire planet. And when I first met Jalu, he made it very clear to me that the water is crying out to him from all four corners of the planet. He said, "I'm singing the water every morning, and I'm singing for it, but it's crying out." He said, "You must hurry up. You must work hard to stop the destruction of the water." Because Jalu, my father Jalu, he lived in the bush naked until the age of 12, 13. He comes from nature. He is not just a man of nature, but he's a spiritual healer of nature. That's why people travel from all over the world to get healing from him. He has been, he has traveled the entire world giving healing to everyone all over the world. And he makes it very, very clear to me and to many others that he comes from nature. We all come from nature. But he makes it clear that he comes from nature. And in our culture, it is nature that gives us our law. Our law is the song, the ceremony, and the dance, which is the connection to nature. And it is that law and that ceremony, those dance and those songs that we are going to lose as we lose our elders who hold on to that ancient knowledge. And we are being hit so hard and so fast that we are trying to ring ahead and prepare communities what to say, what to do, and just to bring them up to speed and get them to understand that they have a right to say no and they can push back. So in relation to the land, I'll share a story with you. I sat with a traditional elder. He's thousands of years of bloodline, traditional healer. And him and I were sitting on the beach one day, and he had his sand in a hand. And he looked at me and he said, "They just don't get it." And I said, "What's that, uncle?" He said, "They just don't get it." I said, "What is it they don't get?" And he lifted his hand up out of the sand and he looked down at his handprint in the sand. And he said to me, "That's our medicine. The land is our medicine. The land is our ancestors. The land is your ancestors. The land is all our ancestors." And in our culture, we are the strongest reminder to everybody else on the planet who they once were in connection to their medicine and their ancestors, which is the land. We are made up of the same minerals. Our spirit comes from the land. Our spirit goes back to the land. So this is an attack on every conceivable level that you could imagine to disconnect the tribal sovereign people of this land from that absolute connection, not just to the land, but to the very area where they hold the song and dance, because our ceremonies and our dances are connected to the land of where we are. It's the stories. It's the land that tells us where and how to exist. It's the balance of harmony between us and our ancestors, between us and the Creator. It's the entire universe comes through our DNA, through that connection to the land. And that's what they are destroying in the process of annihilating the oldest living culture on the planet in order to steal wealth and resources for the greedy few.
But it's also that they're killing off when they're, you know, like chasing you off the land or like killing people. Then they're also like destroying like guardians of the world, of the planet, basically, for everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the Pope did say in 2017 that the only hope for the planet is indigenous sovereignty. And I always wondered, why did he make that comment? I now realized later that the reason he said that is because the sovereign tribes of the planet are the only ones that don't have a true contract with any of these corporations or with anybody. And as the sovereigns, we have the right to push back against these corporate entities and these corporate conglomerates and these corporate bodies that are impersonating governments and affecting the entire planet. And when you consider that the English invaded 2/3 of the planet, and they're all indigenous cultures. Now, if the indigenous sovereign tribal people of the lands across the planet were to unite and take their rightful place to care for the land, we would have two-thirds of the world under very, very good care. And that would bring the last third into order to work together to create healthy, sustainable industries and sustainability for humanity while we bring forth the old knowledge to care for the land and look after our mother and our creator and our ancestors. And that's how we afford our great-great-grandchildren a livable planet. And so the sovereigns of the planet, for me, are the key to the freedom for humanity. And we welcome everybody to join with us. We call on all the sovereigns. And the sovereigns are not just the dark-skinned indigenous tribes. There are the sovereigns of Germany. There are the sovereigns of England and Ireland and Scotland and all these various places in the Asias. We are calling on all sovereigns, black and white, of every color, of every race, of every culture, to come and unite with the sovereigns of this land and bring back to order, balance, peace, and harmony to the planet, because the oldest living culture on the planet, the Aboriginal culture of this land, is also the oldest living law of the planet. And as anybody out there who understands law, I'm just a youth worker, but anybody who understands law knows that first in time, best at law. And in our law, in our culture, it is unlawful to kill people. It is unlawful to harm people. It is unlawful to steal someone else's land and do everything that they've done to us since 1788 for 232 years. Everything they've done to us, they are now starting to do to the non-tribal people of this land, and it's waking people up. And that's why we're calling on unity, not just with the tribes of this land and the tribes across the planet, but we're calling on unity amongst all of humanity, regardless of our culture, our race, our religions, our backgrounds. It's time for us to unite and stand together, and that's the only way forward, I believe.
It's the only way forward, absolutely. Are you connecting with all the other people, not just the Aboriginals, but all the other people in Australia? Have they heard your call?
Without question, my brother, without question. I've put some links on the chat. Mm-hmm. I put some links on there, and there's one on there that's called Widdershin. Mm-hmm. Widdershin is a film we put together, not just to wake up the Australian people, but to unite the Australian people. Widdershin is actually a ancient prophecy that was told by tribal groups down in south of Australia, in the southern part of Australia. And that prophecy was that one day a non-black-skinned person, okay, somebody of a different color, not black, lighter, would come to these lands and that there would be great suffering and pain for many years. But over time, the black and the white would stand together to create a prosperous future and a prosperous way forward together, united. And I got told this story from an uncle and an elder who I had great respect for. He's passed now. I still have great respect for him. And he shared that story with us, and that prophecy's time has come. That time is now. So we've put this out to the Australian people. We've talked to the Australian people about uniting with us, because at the end of the day, nobody can legitimize a government on the Australian continent other than the sovereign tribal people. So what we've been saying to the Australian people is we're ready to walk with you. We're ready to stand with you and afford the Australian people a legitimate government with the sovereigns as the head of state, working with senior councils and working to create a government that serves the Australian people, that has legitimacy and approval from the sovereigns. And the Australian people, the amount of people that have come back and said this is a great way forward, it is a great way for us to unite, and it's a great way for us to walk away from this corporate entity that's impersonating a government, and for us to create a way forward and a healthy future for all. So we are working tirelessly to get that message out to the Australian people, and they're ready for it. They're ready for it, and a lot of people have been responding positively. We are desperately trying to work with a lot of groups to bring together a model to be able to put to the Australian people and say, here's an alternative, here's a solution. It's time we get a clearance and walk away from this corporate entity that's harming us all. So the Australian people are starting to wake up and realise what we've been subjected to as tribal people for 232 years, and the Australian people are waking up en masse, and they're wanting an alternative option and something that's healthy for them and their families and their future children. So we're affording that and offering that to the people, and it's been well received. Obviously, there's a lot of work to be done, and with so many people running in so many different directions, trying to duck for cover while we try and seek freedom, we're trying to pull all that together.
I think it's really great what you're doing, and it's so very important. You know, like what Michael Swinwood from Canada, the Canadian lawyer, you know what he always says, now we're all Indians. Now we experience the same, you know, like human, like what you call this, like Menschenverachtend.
Mistreatment
people, and like, yes. You know, but it's even, you know, like not.
It's like a disgust of human beings.
Of
it's
human
incredible.
Dignity, you know,
human
it's like
dignity,
a terrible
yes.
thing. And that what happened to your people, you know, I mean, this terrible experience and also for so many years. And now they're doing the same thing to everyone on the globe, you know, like not any pretext anymore, but like right in your face. And I think it's so important that we really join together, everyone, you know, who wants like a normal, a human, you know, like a life that's, you know, respectful for human dignity. You know, we really have to join forces. And I mean, here there's also people turning to the land, you know, to the countryside, like whoever has some piece of land, they're preparing also, you know, they're wanting to be independent of like this whole thing, this whole machine that's there. But at the same time, machinery, you know, they're trying to make it impossible for people to use the land as they want, and you know, you have all these restrictions for the farmers and all that. I mean, that's been going on for a very long time, but people are now really preparing also for what's maybe to come, or if the plan continues as they want it, you know, so that they get to become independent. But I think it's really important to see also the spiritual side of the country, you know, of the land, that it's not only there to give you food, but that it's basically, I mean, you're the source for everything, you know, for the culture, for everything. And I have not yet looked at it the way that you describe it now, but I think it's very inspirational. It's very important also that we toward the land finally come to like respect, you know, treating that with the respect due as well, because that's, you know, with the way that we've been trained here, it's really also this kind of exploitative approach to the country, you know, that to squeeze things out of it. I mean, not for me personally, you know, but in general. So I think it's really like a much more wholesome approach that we all have to take. I think it's really the time now.
It is the time. And David, I think we're all going to be happy to follow your lead, because you're a few steps ahead of us. This is the first time that anyone has ever openly expressed the idea that we're not dealing with governments anymore, but rather with corporate structures. And I don't think that this is limited to Australia. I think this has been going on all over the world. It's the only way to explain what's going on.
Well, the fact is, you only have to go to Unidroit, UNIDROIT. If you go to the Unidroit and check up, that's where every corporate government on the planet, and I believe your government included, Germany, is registered within Unidroit, and Unidroit is registered within the Vatican. It's a corporate body registered within the Vatican. So, you know, we've heard the saying our whole life, all roads lead back to Rome.
Yeah.
So the Australian government, along with the German government, the American government, they're all corporate bodies registered within Unidroit in the Vatican, and that's where their corporate body is held. So this is an issue for all of us globally, and that's why we are calling on unity not just amongst the tribes and the non-tribal people here, but we're calling for that unity globally. Mm-hmm. Because what we need to do as a collective is we need to oppose these corporations.
Yes.
I mean, we're trying to attack them legally. We're fighting them in their courts. These are corporate courts. I can't speak for anywhere else, but in Australia, the legal system here operates under statute, which is military rule and military law.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing that can override statute is the returning sovereign. So we held a ceremony at the naval base in Darwin several weeks ago with senior elders, including my father, Jali Gudawiri. And we read out an extract and a statement from extracts from the international war laws of war and occupation. And in there it states very clearly, if the returning sovereign returns, the belligerent must stand down. So we formally stood down the belligerent occupiers at the naval base in Darwin several weeks ago. And like everything else, they ignore it. But the fact is, we held the ceremony and we stood down the belligerent occupier, and we are striving to take our self-determination and to hold our hand out to the Australian people and unite everyone. But our call out really is a call out of unity across the planet, because we have to remember that these corporations, to some degree, aren't insured, and we keep fighting them in their courts, trying to attack them under common law, which doesn't exist. We're trying to fight them with statute law in their courts, which they can change at any time, which they do. And I was told by a previous judge that we're simply told to ignore you, change the rules, and move you on. So we have to remember that these corporate bodies have an insurance, and that's where we should be targeting. We should be targeting them through their insurance, because all liability comes back to the corporate agents that are upholding the fraud and the treason and harming us, the people, through these mandates and pushing a bioweapon into humanity. Each corporate agent is personally and vicariously liable. I can only speak for Australia, but we've done the sums, and the constitutional laws and the laws under the Crimes Act that they are breaking by impersonating public officers holds every public agent at 29 years imprisonment. So that's not including the injury, harm, and loss that they're causing to the people. So by holding these people and their insurers accountable is the only way we're going to break them, because money is the only thing they care about. Mm-hmm. They don't care about life. They don't care about the land. They don't care about spirituality, and they certainly don't care about the future generations. And that's why we're striving hard to work with the Australian people to establish a legitimate government that can serve not only the people today, but serve our ancestors into the future. And under our law and under our culture, that's our responsibility. It is our responsibility our law to act in a manner that ensures that the next generation is looked after, that the land is healthy for them, that they are safe, that they can move forward and prosper from the fruits and the foundations that we lay today. So it's our responsibility. And for me, as I descend from two Aboriginal tribes in Australia, that lineage goes back through multiple tribes. And I also descend from the Irish and Scottish tribes of Europe. So this isn't an Australia thing. This is a global thing. And that's why I think we need the unity globally to stand as one and push back these corporate warmongers and genocide, psychopaths. We need to push them back and unite humanity, unite the people, and put in place legitimate governments that are going to care for and look after the people. And if we don't do that, then it's all over for our future generations.
I agree. It's the only way. It's pretty incredible to see how
from all these different cultures and all different religions, we're hearing the same story. It's all coming to a head now, and we have to unite. There's no other way. We have to fight these corporations. Actually, it's funny, but maybe it has a meaning. I have been fighting these corporations all my professional life. They're the ones who I've been going after. I actually used to work for one until I... Deutsche Bank, until I began to realize that it's one of the most criminal organizations in the world. But it's, I think it's very, very important that we follow your lead. And it's, I'm surprised that Australia, of all countries, is probably going to be the first one to really, of all continents really, the first one to rise up, where the people really unite. And that's through you and your people. Very, very interesting, I must say. Very uplifting, actually.
Well, you know, I've been looking at this issue for many years. I knew through various political analysts that they were going to roll out a fake pandemic 3 years before it happened, and they were talking about they were going to bring out a vaccine that was going to be a bioweapon, and it was going to have this in it and do that, and I actually didn't think that they could pull it off that well. I was wrong. But at the same time, I've always been thinking the only solution for this country, which has ramifications around the world, is for the tribal and non-tribal people to unite. And I never dreamed of a moment that that could happen. And I never thought of a way to make it happen. But then all this stuff rolled out, and as we started to watch everybody freak out and start to crumble and panic, what we actually witnessed was a lot of non-tribal people waking up to the reality of what we've been trying to say for many, many, many years, which is that this government does not care about you, does not care about us. It only cares about its foreign corporate banking interests and the resources on this land that it can steal. And now that the Australian people have been slapped in the face and woken up to the reality that this corporation does not care for them either, now they want out. Now they want a solution. And for me and for many people around the country, this has been a point in time that we've been forced into a position of having to unify through a common goal to find freedom for all. And that's what we're trying to promote here and around the world. And it's the unity is the key, and the people is the power. And if we stand together as one with the sovereigns of the land that can give the people a legitimate government, then we can walk away. We can step away. Yeah. We don't have to fight this corporate beast.
Yeah.
And so can I ask you, why do you think have the measures in Australia been so extreme? Because, I mean, we can see that it's really, you know, I mean, what's going on there, that's outrageous. I mean, it's been that basically from the beginning. I just looked at the figures again, and I think it's only like 2,200 people died in connection with corona. So it's basically nothing. And you had like out of 50 million tests, you had, I think, like 270,000 positives. So that's a ridiculously low positive rate. It's been below the rate of false positives that we see, like in this, test that here, like instant, they did like some testing in laboratories and came out with like a 1.4 positive rate in just water. You know, or like a liquid that was definitely not, there was nothing of corona in it. And like when they did a test with a harmless coronavirus, they had a 70.4 or 0.6 positive rate. So, I mean, what you have is like, you know, less than water, prevalence of like positives, which could as well be false positives, basically no dead people. And like, how come that they went so forcefully, you know, at the Australians, kind of from the beginning?
I'll tell you why, because Australia has been set up to be the lucky, laid-back, easygoing country. Mm-hmm. And Australians are very complacent, okay? It's like a friend of mine from Canada said. He said, they change a law in Australia and everyone gets angry, then they grab a beer and go back to the footy and they forget about it the next day. Mm-hmm. He said in France, they changed the train fare by 20 cents and there's a riot because they didn't ask the people. And he's right. Australians are pretty laid back. But the problem they've got with Australians is this. Australians are pretty laid back, easygoing, lucky people, right? But they're also the kind of people when you start to harm their family and you go for their children, you bring out a different kind of warrior that will never turn back. And that's what they're on the precipice of. They're on the precipice of releasing a nation full of people who are very, very good people, but push them to a point and there'll be no coming back for what they release. And that's when you'll see the Australian people really rise up. And I'll tell you exactly why they've gone hard on us, because we have been the trial grounds for many years for many things. And everything that is being implemented with the global Agenda 21 and the New World Order agenda, these are all tactics that are being trialed and practiced on Aboriginal people first. The basic card, which is a universal income card, all these things, everything that's been trialed in terms of controlling our people, making our people sick through food, through water, through poor housing. In some of our communities, we have an average of 23 people per house in a three-bedroom house. And in some parts of Northeast Arnhem Land, we have an average of 17 people per house. So through all of this socially engineered conditioning and suffering and manipulation that has been trialed on the Aboriginal people of this continent for 232 years, it's all been nothing but a dry run for what they're going to do to everybody else in Australia and across the planet. So what they've done in our communities, I can assure you, is nothing but a practice run for what they're going to do in your communities in the future. And it's a practice run for what they're going to do in Australia. So the reason they've come here hard is because, one, they've always trialed everything here, but two, we are one of the wealthiest land masses on the planet, and the only thing standing between the globalists, the central banks, and the super elites and the resources in our land is 1 million tribal people. That's 3% of the Australian population. Now, looking at the Deagle website, they've taken the link down, but prior to taking it down, they estimated that by 2025, the Australian population will be depopulated to 9 million people. That's 15, 16 million people gone, dead. So these psychopaths are happy to wipe out 14 million non-tribal people in order to take out 1 million tribal people, in order to have enough manageable people to get to work and dig up the resources that they can create their wealth off. And that's what this is. It's a land grab without question. I said it from the start and I'll still say it now. And the fact that I've now been sent maps that overlay all the deals that have been done and all the diamonds that rest on lands that they are pounding our people on, one of the first places I said they're going to smash Ramangini. Ramangini has some of the big water holding lakes in the northeast region of the territory. These lakes are massive. They hold so much water, and water is the real gold. Water is the true gold. And they went into Ramangini and they hit from the age of 11 all the way through to elders with this bioweapon, and they had the military there. And the military was handing out food. They weren't armed, but just their mere presence, along with police and medical staff, telling people you cannot leave the community, you can't go shopping, you can't go hunting, you can't live. If you don't get this thing, you're going to die. And for me, that's as good as holding someone down and forcing them.
Absolutely.
So that's what's happening in our communities.
Well, and how many of the 1 million Aborigines are now aware of what's going on? I mean, how many do you think are already vaccinated? That's one thing. But the other thing, how many are now waking up and see the whole picture?
I think I'd be guessing if I gave you a number on how many are vaccinated. I'm really scared because a lot of our remote areas are people who, like I said, English is their fifth or sixth language. So you have the police and the health officials lock down your town, not let you out, come in. They are smashing us en masse. So I don't know what the true numbers are. What I do know is there are a lot of tribal people that are waking up, Unfortunately, a lot of them are people who have already received one or two vaccines, but they're watching the sickness rise around them. They're watching the death happen around them, and they're waking up really quick. And a lot of people are saying, we don't want this anymore. And a lot of people are saying, I didn't want it, but I was forced and I was pressured, and I'm really unhappy about it. People are very, very unhappy about it, that are waking up. But the people are waking up very quick, both tribal and non-tribal across this country. And the Australian people are waking up en masse as well. So unfortunately, it's not quick enough to stop the rate of them getting into our communities. And it's not even just in our communities. For example, in Darwin, we've got video footage of hospital staff going up to Aboriginal people in parks who are intoxicated and injecting them while they're sitting in the park. My good friend, a brother of mine, his mother, a lot of our people who live on the streets that are from out of town, they call them long grassers. They just sleep in the bush. Well, a lot of our people who are camping in the bush are getting injected while they're drunk, sleep, and intoxicated. My mate's mother was injected while she was drunk and asleep. And when she woke up the next day, other people told her, those people came here and they gave you a needle while she was asleep. How is that consent? How is that informed consent?
That's battery. It's battery and assault. It is inexcusable. Yes. They will have to pay for this.
Absolutely. Got footage of the...
I was just thinking, since we have the information from America that, only like 95%, I think, of the damages were caused by only 5% of the injections, So that's also one since we don't really know what's in the vaccines. I mean, it could also be that maybe in your case, they're even using the tougher version or like who knows what's in it, It's like very... opaque, or like it's not opaque, but very obscure. Dark, obscure, mm-hmm. The thing.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And there's medical people that have made statements, and it's been made publicly, that there is a separate vaccine for Aboriginal people. So they actually have a vaccine just for our people. And I can assure you the rate in which we're losing people, the rate in which people are getting sick, tells me that this is without question a bioweapon and attempted genocide of my people.
And is it correct you are basically under a lockdown, so you cannot even travel to these tribes because if you stick by the law, is that what we heard that you cannot cross between the different states,
one territory to the other?
So you cannot even send people there to warn them or to help.
Yeah, when they lock them down, they're blocking the roads. When they lock the communities down, they're blocking the roads. They're even cutting the communication in some of the communities. They're stopping people from filming. They tell the community people that they can't film. And they do everything they can to cover up everything they're doing. And, for example, the elderly lady that died in the quarantine centre in Darwin, at the Howard Springs facility, the minister, the justice minister, came out and made a statement. We're unsure if she is a repatriated Australian, meaning she's come back from overseas, or if she's from overseas. They knew very well she's an Aboriginal elder from a community that they forced off her land and gave her an injection and put her into a quarantine centre and neglected her for over 12 hours. They knew very well who she was, where she was from, and that she died in this facility due to their negligence, and they still tried to cover that up publicly. So the government is not only desperate to keep people out when they're going in and hitting these communities, but they're also lying and altering the narrative. And mainstream media aren't touching the truth. They're not saying anything.
And these are special forces, basically, who are doing this dirty job. It's not like normal doctors, but it's these... I mean, how can they not see this? And I mean, or are they just stuck in the propaganda story?
Are they special forces or are they regular police or military?
They're regular police mm-hmm. working with health officials. Mm-hmm. And in some communities, they're taking military in to assist with locking down the community. They say to hand out food, but it's just the military people's presence that it's the military's people presence that adds to the pressure of our people feeling like they have to take it. So there's no special forces going in. I know in some communities there's been they've had the task force go in, which is your special police task force. They're the ones you send into riots and things like that. They have sent them in, and they're just applying the pressure across the board.
The good news, I think, is that your people and the Australians in general, and with them the world in general, is waking up. They're getting stronger and stronger because it's the knowledge of all these extremely evil corporations and their string pullers. It's the knowledge that will help us rise up. I always said that it's the most important step to take is the one from, oh my God, they're making terrible mistakes, to they're doing this on purpose. They're trying to kill us. Once you understand that, you know what to do.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. And I think that's what's waking up people. The moment they started talking about 5-year-olds here, there's been language coming out of very good people's mouths that I never thought I would hear. And people are not going to tolerate that. People are not going to accept the fact that these corporations think that they can come in and push these corporate rules, these mandates which aren't law, onto their families, which they've already done, and they've harmed a lot of people, including a lot of family of mine. But now they're talking about coming after the children. They're starting to wake up the beast. They're starting to wake up the angry mothers and the angry fathers who are not going to sit by idly and tolerate this. So you're right, brother. The harder they go for our families, the louder the people of the world are waking up. And it doesn't matter if you're in this country or anywhere else on the planet, once you come for our children, that's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
That's when the people of the planet are going to say, that's it. You know, they're already saying it now. Look at the marches. Look at the marches all over the world and the rallies and the people speaking up and speaking truth. It's just getting stronger week by week and month by month. And most of these corporate agents, these so-called politicians and bureaucrats, they struggle just to uphold daily business. They struggle just to keep things together on a daily business without all of this stuff. Now they've got to uphold a massive lie for a foreign power and lie to the people while they're trying to kill their own citizens. That's a good way to turn your people against you. And there's a guy who's got a algorithm system that he applied to the financial system and the cryptocurrency. And when this all started, he thought, I can apply this to people. So he started linking his system up to all the social media and putting out questions and seeing how people felt. And the system monitors how people feel. And he said, the system came back and said, it is a 75% probability that the Australian people will rise up and it'll be a massacre against the police and the army. And that was the analysis of his system. I think it's potentially accurate. If you push people to the point where you tell them, we're going to kill your babies, it's not going to end well.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like with when they lured people into like getting vaccinated, it was like the idea that you basically like, make a contribution to society. But now when they're after your children, it's becoming a sacrifice, You know, and that's also, you know, and they people become then defensive of the children, like when beforehand they were defensive of society as a whole. You know, so it touches really their soul and their emotional part, you know, and that's why it's so tough. But I think it's or like that's why people are getting into like lion mode, you know, and defending their families, which I think is really fantastic. And it's a very good thing, you know, that their heart awakens at that point. But I think it's also really dangerous because I think it has we really need to make sure that it's some sort of like peaceful transition, because it might bring, you know, even more terrible things out of the other side, you know, when we have like a full blown riot, because we see here a lot of also like a lot of provocation going on all the time, trying to like, you know, get fire lighted, like, you know, to lit up the fire of like riot, and then maybe come and say, okay, now we have to get the police, the military in. They're already saying, oh, the police can't handle these peaceful demonstrations anymore, you know, where nothing is happening basically. So they're putting in their agent provocateurs, you know, in order to finally get the game going. And so it's, and now the police is kind of, it's withdrawing a little bit because they, oh, we just can't handle it anymore. But then the danger rises that they say, wow, now we have to get in like all the military. And then people are impressed, obviously, if you come in with like tanks or whatever, you know, they might have in the sleeve, up the sleeve, their sleeves. And so I think we really have to make sure it's a peaceful transition, but that we do expel like all these like rotten folks, you know, out of the from the future society, peaceful society that we need to build and want to build and will build.
Yep, I agree with you 100%, and I think a peaceful resolution is the best way forward for everybody on the planet. As much as his algorithm picked up that probability, I hope it doesn't come to that. I really hope that through uniting the people and standing down the corporations and affording the people an alternative that is a peaceful transition is in my view the healthiest way forward. Because we have to remember this. It's like I made a comment publicly that it's not the unvaccinated people that the bureaucrats, politicians, police, and doctors need to be worried about. It's actually the vaccinated people that you have lied to and deceived. Yeah. And they're the ones that are going to have nothing to lose. They're the ones who are going to say, my child is dead or my wife is dead or I'm dying and that, I've got nothing to lose. They're the people that are going to be seeking retribution. And I think it's really important that if we can get a clean transition while we educate people on the facts, while we bring out cures and assist everybody to know that there is, you know, we've already lost a lot of people. And we're going to lose a lot more. But if there are cures or if there's any way that we can reverse any of this, as much as we stand down these corporate conglomerates, we also need to be mindful of this, the rate in which we educate people on the facts and also offering a solution to healing for those people. Because if they feel like they've got nothing to lose, a lot of people are going to go out there and do bad stuff, and we don't want that. And you know, I like to refer to Sun Tzu, the art of war, and the greatest victory is the victory in which blood is not shed. And although we have already lost a lot of people and blood has been shed, that is on the corporate government's hands. That is on the corporate elite's hands. That's not on the average person. So if we can transition peacefully and we can transition in a timely manner so people understand that there's going to be cures and help and support, we can hopefully reduce the violence. And that's very important for all of us.
Yeah.
And I think we should not waste our, you know, because aggression is also like, can be like a productive force. I mean, what I mean is like, you know, we would lose so much of our force, of our, you know, capability if we went into aggression and then like just wasted on like, you know, a big outcry and big riot. But we need this power, you know, that lies in aggression, but in a productive way, you know, that we really then build the new things, help the others. That's where we need the energy that we have. We should not waste it into like some mere bloodshedding or like just like whatever, screaming at one another. It doesn't help. We need action, and for that we need the power, and we should conserve it for that.
I agree totally. And here's the thing: the global elites that have created this entire attempted genocide of humanity is the very same bodies that funded both sides of World War One and Two, and have funded all the corporate wars around the planet for the last 50-odd, 60-odd years since. Now, you're right. They want nothing more than for us to react in violence so they can justify martial law and bringing in the military to wipe out and bring down as many people as possible. That's actually what they would want. So I agree with you totally. You know, doing this peacefully and doing it honorably and doing it within the law, but doing it in unity, on big numbers, and all the people standing together, that's the real power. That's what's going to get this over the line, is all of us uniting around the planet.
Yeah, it is. I think it is understandable that at times people get very, very angry, in particular when they realize what is being done to them and their children. But I think we must keep control of what's going on. So we must not lose patience, and we must. The only way to do this is to unite, to stand together, and fight these corporate monsters to the very end. And I don't think it's going to take that long. You know, there's two people. I have never asked anyone for an autograph. Two exceptions. Once, when I was in Los Angeles, got up very early in the morning because of the jet lag. I asked. There was a stranger it was in Beverly Hills, a stranger walking his dogs, and the guy looked like John Wayne. So I approached him and I asked him if he is John Wayne. He said, "Yes, I'm John Wayne." I got an autograph from him. In the meantime, I've read up on him because I have always been an admirer of him. He's just like the person that the person he portrayed in his movies. Then there's one other person, and that is one of the best windsurfers. I used to be a windsurfing instructor. One of the best windsurfers. His name is Robbie Nash. So I think even if we are getting angry, we should think about how beautiful it's going to be when we're out there after this is all done and over with, when we're out there standing on a surfboard or a windsurf board and gliding. That is what we want. We want to have the good life. We don't want to have the bloodshed.
Yep. Totally, brother. I agree 100%. And I really believe that these corporate conglomerates that have been in control for many, many years have manipulated the socially engineered enslavement of humanity.
Yeah.
And when we pass through this, and you know, sometimes, well, it's, for me, it's as simple as you can't fight your enemy if you don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. And everybody's been under the illusion that the government is their friend. To now realize that the governments are nothing but corporate, they're corporatized enemies, and that they don't have our best interests at heart. When we stand them down, and when we step away from them, it only leaves one other option: is what is it that we want as humanity? And to be able to look after everybody, there's more than enough wealth on the planet. For me, money means nothing. It's artificially created. But there's more than enough wealth in terms of resources for us to look after everybody on the planet. And what will come out of this without the control of the corporations that have enslaved us is a beautiful direction forward to not only free humanity, but to create a new direction for humanity. And that's the exciting, beautiful part I look forward to on the other side of this insanity. And I'm with you, brother. I really think it's around the corner. And I think it's good people like yous that are standing up in honor and bringing people together and uniting people to bring that truth to humanity and to unite everyone to walk free from these corporations. That's the power. And I thank you and everybody involved in the great work that yous are doing. And I look forward to maybe meeting you one day and you can take me windsurfing.
I'll be proud to do that. And I really like it, brother, when you call me brother. I really like that, David. It's a pleasure and an honor. It was great to talk to you. We will turn this thing around, and we'll do it in a peaceful way, and we'll have a much better life after this.
Well, let me tell you why I call you my brother. Because there's seven strands of human DNA, they've tested everyone on the planet, and I think it was Asia to Europe had 1 to 3. The Africans came in at 4, and the Aboriginal people from Central Desert had all seven strands. That doesn't only just make us the oldest race on the planet, but it makes our law the first in time, best at law on the planet. But it also makes you our little brother.
Very good.
And that means that we all come from that same DNA. Mm-hmm. We all come from the same creation. We all come from the same minerals. So regardless of where we are on the planet, and that's why my father, Jali Guruwiwi, that's why he sings the water for the Netherlands. He sings the water to Asia. He sings the water to the Middle East. He sings the water to the Americas. And he sings the water tunnels all over the planet because he is the water healer for the planet. He holds the most ancient water dreaming story for the entire planet, and he is the water healer for the planet. And what he's taught me is our songs and our ceremonies and all of those dreamings are connected. They're connected through the medicine. They're connected through our ancestors. The water that flows through your mountains at some point runs in the ocean and drifts across here. The Sahara, the winds pick up the sand in the Sahara Desert, carries it over the Pacific Ocean and drops it on the Amazon to fertilize the Amazon. That's because all of our dreaming, all of our sacred connection through the Wittich, the rainbow serpent, which is the water, the rivers that run in your land is the rainbow serpent. That's the water creation. Now, that's connected to the water here. We're all connected to the same dreaming, because we're all of the same DNA from the planet and we're all of the same minerals. Therefore, we're all brothers and sisters. And that's what we're saying to everybody is, it's time for us to unite and stand together as humanity, not as countries, not as cultures, not as religions, not as races, but as humans. It's time to bring it all together. And this is the opportunity that we have in this time of madness to create something beautiful, not just for us today, but when your great-great-great-great-grandkids and my great-great-great-great-grandkids are drinking good water, eating good food, breathing good air, and living in a healthy and prosperous manner, that is the legacy that we leave through the stance that we make today. And we invite everyone to stand with us in unity, to be the ones to create that future for our ancestors. So when they look back and say, what did my ancestors do in that time? Wow, they stood up. They changed it. And we're enjoying this because of what they did then. And that's our responsibility today. So, brother, sisters, we invite you all. It's time we unite and end this insanity for humanity.
We will. We will. And we will meet. And I don't want to teach you windsurfing, but we will meet. We'll have a glass of wine and stuff. Maybe I will teach you windsurfing. We'll see. Okay.
I'm never too old to teach, brother. I'd love to.
Okay, very good. David, it's been a real pleasure. I think both of us enjoyed this very, very much. And we're going to spread the news to the rest of the world.
Thanks so much. Very important.
Thank you.
Thank you, and have a great holiday.
You too, brother.
Thank you.
Love to you all.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye.
You too, my brother. We'll talk soon.
We will.
Anytime.
Okay. Thank you.